Blog Talk Radio.
Thinking, of course, this is Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Hyten of Right Now, Hyten & Lewis. I'm Dave Isaac. Jim, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dave?
Oh, good. This is your debut show on our new platform. This is exciting. We've had, so far last week, starting Wednesday, we had Breakthrough Sports and Breakthrough Entertainment. You call the magazine more Breakthrough Sports. And now we're starting Breakthrough Thinking, all business type of shows and legal type of shows. And of course, let's introduce you to the new listening audience. Of course, Right Now, we're Hyten & Lewis, a great law firm in Phoenix, Arizona. Jim, you're the senior partner. Tell us a little bit more about Right Now, we're Hyten & Lewis.
Well, I'm one of the senior partners. There's three named partners, Bill Ridenour, myself, and Tammy Lewis. Our law firm has been around now for quite a number of years. We're really a commercial-type law firm. We represent a lot of businesses. Our litigation side of the firm litigates commercial and some personal injury, but mainly it's set up to handle commercial-type lawsuits for our commercial clients. So the firm was founded and pretty much runs on the basis that we try to serve as businesses and their legal needs and make sure that we cover as much of that as we can.
You know, it's impressive. Not only that, I know all your attorneys, and they're just remarkable people. I mean, I always say it each time, is that it's not just technical competence that you have, but you're fair, you're reasonable, and you really you have this customer service orientation that really sets the stage and the example, the standard for attorneys. And, you know, the stereotypes for every industry, CPAs and engineers and attorneys, but you redefined it because you really, when you talk to one of your attorneys, they care, and that's critical.
Right, and that's, we teach our attorneys that, you know, that's the main thing, is make sure you take care of the client, you return phone calls, you get documents done on time, that you really do the things that the client's expecting you to do. And then on top of that, as Bill Ridenour always says, you know, think out of the box and try and come up with solutions that are kind of, you know, maybe a little bit beyond what people expected, but they're good things to try and put into place.
Exceed expectations.
Right.
Which is so critical. And, you know, I'm really impressed, of course, during really a slow time for most businesses. You guys were expanding.
Right.
That's always impressive to me. It's like, wow, everything is going down. And over the last, since 2007, maybe?
Yeah,
eight, something like that.
Yeah.
And you guys were expanding. I mean, we just got done with the NLP show, you know, really about mindset.
Right.
And your culture, your mindset, I mean, it's intentional that you didn't let external obstacles get in your way.
Right. We, you know, it can be scary at times, but I mean, we saw that there was an opportunity there that we actually were able to bring some lawyers on board that maybe we wouldn't have been able to bring on before, but they gave us more expertise in different areas. So we feel right now we cover pretty much almost everything a business is going to need to look at, you know, whenever they're either starting the business, growing the business, expanding the business.
And let's take a look at that right now, because, you know, we've always talked about if you're going to be in business, having a relationship with an attorney is absolute must. I also believe a CPA.
Right.
And beyond that, well, I mean, a good banker is always good, don't you agree? And maybe insurance guy.
Right.
I also think a good business coach. I mean, the key word is good.
Right, you know, right.
But having an attorney, and like yourself, you're a business type attorney. I mean, you're also a tax attorney.
Right.
But you're multidimensional. And that's what I really like about it, is that you do think outside the box, but you have the tax aspect, you have transaction aspect, you have the legal aspect, you have the business sense, you have economic reasonableness and what makes sense, well, with economics. Not all attorneys have that.
Yeah, I think that especially in this kind of economy, that is really important because, you know, there's a lot of times where you have to look at things and say, is it really worth the attorney fees to pursue something like this when in the end you're not going to be able to recover enough to make it worthwhile? And so sometimes you just have to sit down with a client and say, here are the economics of this, and this may be the best thing you can do. It may be that we have to negotiate something. It may not be everything you want, but in the end it may be a better deal than if you went at it and spent a lot of money and didn't collect anything.
Yeah, there's no question about that, which brings up a really important question. Because a lot of people, a lot of clients out there, a lot of listeners right now are thinking like, well, why do I need an attorney? You know, I'm not in legal trouble. You know, they try to do their contracts themselves, either from, you know, negotiating a lease deal with a commercial
right.
building, commercial space. Maybe they're setting up maybe a partnership, and they're trying to figure out how to, you know, who gets what. The partner, is it always a 50-50 deal? I'm not a big fan of 50-50 deals at all.
Right.
I say performance-based. But so why would, for the listeners now, why would you need an attorney? It's not just legal.
Right, right. Well, a lot of it is, like you say, when you're getting into these deals and it seems like everything's fine, nothing's going wrong, and everything, you know, you get it done and you think, well, okay, there's nothing to worry about. But I've been at it now over 30 years, and I have seen a lot of things come out of the woodwork that you never thought was going to happen. And like you say, partnerships are, you know, again, a big thing when I look at those. I always tell the people getting into them, think about what could happen down the road. What happens if your partner dies?
Yeah.
You know, what happens if they went bankrupt? I mean, sometimes you think you know them, but you don't. And so you got to have some agreements as to what happens if. And, you know, I say it's really just a good way to make sure that what you're building doesn't get blown up one day because all of a sudden you find out your partner died and, you know, their interest is off to somebody that you never met before and you're in business with somebody brand new that you can't get along with.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Also, not even if they die, what if they get disabled? What
right.
if you had a deal that it doesn't address that and they're entitled to 50% of the distributions or the profits, whatever, and they're not working anymore?
And that's always a tough one because, you know, people are, I think, by nature, you know, they've got a generous side to them. And somebody becomes disabled, they don't necessarily want to throw them out of the business. But again, if the person who's left that's not disabled is having to do 100% of the work now, after a while, there's going to be some resentment about, well, how come I'm still getting 50%, the other person getting 50%, and they're not working? So, you know, put something in the agreement so there's an agreement. What happens if that occurs?
You know, and I also am a big fan of this. You know, what are the roles of each partner?
Right.
The responsibilities, the expectations. Because, well, I'll tell you, when I first started my partnership, you know, in California, way back when in the mid-80s, actually. Wow. Does that mean I'm getting old? Oh, man.
No, not really.
Oh, I'm getting older. I'm getting better. Is that how the commercial goes?
Right.
But what's interesting, you know, and you probably see it too, Jim, is that people come, you know, to you, oh, yeah, form a partnership or whatever entity, but they're in the honeymoon phase. They think everything's exciting. They have this idea. They want to start. But there's different stages of a business.
Right.
And like, I brought in most of the clients early on, but when it becomes a mature model, you know, who's really, you know, there's a lot of value for someone bringing in clients, but there's also a lot of value to work the clients.
Right, exactly.
And
right.
and if you don't address it and look beyond the honeymoon,
right,
big problems, just like marriage, right?
Right, and you know, over the years, the other situation I've seen a lot of is you get two people get together. One of them is really the money person. The other person is going to be the one that manages the business. They get together. Everything's great for a while. And then pretty soon it's like, well, wait a minute. I put the money in. Why is the other guy getting half? Or the other fellow saying, I'm doing all the work. He just put the money in. Why is he getting half? You just have to kind of address those things up front and say, okay, here's how it works, guys. Here are the roles that everybody's playing.
I totally agree. And developing a compensation system is critical. And really, if you think about it, there's not, I mean, everyone's not not everyone has equal talent. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But everyone's important. But not everyone should get paid the same. Let's talk about that because it drives me nuts. I just don't like 50-50 deals. You can have 50-50 in ownership, right?
Right.
But not necessarily in profits or compensation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's but it's always, you know, it's always a difficult discussion with people. Is it because the fellow that's running or the lady that's running the company will say, well, I ought to get this as compensation. Okay, fine. Then now you get down to dividends or splits of profits.
Yeah.
Is that going to be 50-50 too? And then, you know, people say, well, wait a minute. The person that's running it's getting more than 50%.
Yeah.
But better to have those disagreements up front than to have them later on, because at least you can address them. And maybe, you know, to a certain extent, you smoke out whether you should really be in business with that person.
You know, that's a very good point, actually, and because you might as well know then. But, again, it's like, you know, going out the honeymoon phase, like, oh, nothing will ever happen to us. You know, it's like, wow, where have they been? Have they looked at the divorce statistics?
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't. I like performance-based compensation to develop, you know, so people can develop their skill sets. If they want to make more money, well, develop more skill sets, right?
Yeah, it just depends on what you're actually rewarding and what the elements of it are. It's you know, again, it's difficult when you have someone who's providing the money because they're like, well, maybe I'm not providing performance here, but I'm providing the money. Without the money, nothing happens.
Yeah.
So you get into some pretty interesting discussions then.
I can imagine. You know, and also, yeah, the money partner, that could be a loan, I guess, or it could be equity or both, right?
Right.
And I guess the question is preferred distributions, when do they get their money back? And that's also an interesting thing, because once they get their money back, then the people working say, well, you don't have any more money in
there. Right, yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have had a business unless I put the money in.
Yeah.
How do you handle those things? That to me is interesting, too.
Well, a lot of times I just get them together and we go through it and we try to decide what's the best way of doing this. And as I say, even in the beginning, I try to get people to talk about that. When the money is finally back in the pocket of the people who put it up, how is everybody going to feel about that? What's the risk? What do they feel like everybody's contributing? And, you know, just find out if they're going to be able to make that jump later on when the money's been paid back.
And that's what I was talking about, different stages of a business, because that did happen in my partnership where in the beginning, and we didn't set a formula till it was a mature model, and we probably should have. But the thing is, in the beginning, if you don't have clients, guess what? Well, you don't have a business.
Right.
So I was getting, I probably, you know, a high percentage of the clients coming into the business. But once it was mature, then you know, the person bringing in the clients, if that's all I was doing, I wasn't. But if that's in extreme sense, if that's all you did, then the people working it now become very valuable to retain the client.
Right, right.
And that's really critical, too. So how do you develop a system is really critical.
Yeah. Well, and as you say, I mean, in the service business, it's a little different than, say, manufacturing, where when you're expanding – you know, you got to have somebody to come up with the money for the additional machines, you know, and the additional inventory. It's all those things are going to cost some money. And so, but, you know, once you get a business that's mature, and if you've got, you know, owners that are mature themselves, they understand that, you know, this thing is really good, so don't rock the boat. You know, try to get along, make you know, it always surprises me that through the years, over the time I've practiced, a lot of the businesses I've seen that have broken up, I would have to say that there was more than enough money to go around to the owners. There was clearly enough profits to distribute in cash and everything, but they just got to a point. It was like, you know, I want this and you can't have that. And, you know, they just couldn't make it work. But as I say, there's lots of money to distribute to everybody.
Is it, would you say it's greed that does it, or is it control? In other words, there could be people that, hey, I want a lot more than you, or they're satisfied with having equal share, but they want to have that little edge saying, hey, I make a little bit more than you, and I control the situation.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, greed, control, ego. I mean, you know, it's some people are so into how much they make as their you know, that is their persona. It's their ego.
Yeah.
If I don't make a lot compared to the other people, then I'm, you know, they just don't see themselves as being valuable.
You know, in my other business in California, I told anyone that we hired that you can make more than the partners.
Right.
I mean, is that a good idea? I mean, my thinking was, if they were making more, they must have been creating value, so everyone was making more.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, again, it's such a mix of everything. I mean, you know, some people are great at getting customers. Some people are better at doing the work. Again, depends on what kind of business it is. I mean, a manufacturing or a retail business, I mean, you know, the people that can actually be people who are out there selling are it's really an important part.
Yeah.
Of it. They may not be the best at ordering and knowing how to get control the income or the inventory flow, but they can sure do the you know, the selling to the customer.
Yeah. And that's important. But that's why strategic planning is so critical.
Right.
To really understand the whole overall company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you can't understand that, you can't just piecemeal it and develop systems just based on one or two aspects of a company. I mean, that'd be silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, and I think it also depends on the business you're in. I mean, there are so many businesses that, you know, and one that comes to mind is like restaurants. I mean,
yeah.
I really admire people that do a good job at restaurants, because you think about it, how much food do you order for every week? How much of what particular thing do you order for every week or day? You know, how do you know who control that? Obviously, if you order too much and it spoils and you've got a loss, or you don't have enough and you can't, you know, somebody's mad because they can't have that special or something.
Yeah.
It's almost, I mean, I almost think of it as a little bit like controlled chaos, that they actually can make it all work. And I'm always, as they say, very impressed by people that run good restaurants.
It is. You know, I don't know if it's an intuitive sense or I know they have certain tools they can use to reorder inventory, of course, based on past experience and stuff. But I'm impressed, too. I was at a restaurant, I forgot which one, and even if I remembered, I wouldn't say the name. But they go, oh, we ran out of that. You know, it's like, if you hear that, and if that happens too often, that
right.
could be a problem.
Right. And like I say, it's different, because it's not like, say, a machine shop that orders so much of a certain, you know, like metals or screws or nuts or stuff that they have
yeah.
to use. Those things will last forever. A
yeah.
restaurant, when they order something, it's going to spoil sooner
yeah.
or later.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they say I'm always, it just seems like such a nuanced type of business.
You know, that'd be great. We've had the owner of Wildflower Bread Company on the show.
Yeah.
You know, we hope to get one of the franchise owners of Smashburger. We had a nice discussion last week. And that'd be some great questions to ask.
Yeah.
Inventory control and other aspects of a great restaurant. And these are two great ones. And fast casual,
yeah.
very fast
right.
growing.
Right.
And I think that would be great questions, as well as how they pick locations. And that also fascinates me, too.
Yeah.
You know, in real estate, they say what? Location, location, location. But retail, too. They
That's
say
right.
the same thing.
That's right.
And, you know, how do they do that, their marketing strategies, especially successful ones? Don't you like the model success?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always like that. And why don't we take a quick break right now? When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Jim Heitman, Reidenauer, Heitman, Lewis. Great law firm, Practical Business Solutions. And joining us right after the break, Mitchell Steen again at the great CPA, one of the two best I know. We'll explain that once we come back. We'll talk about the tax, how much care to do, what's going on there, how to integrate tax, planning, but start a business, what do you need to do? A lot of things going on.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Reidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Practical Business Solutions, starring Jim Heitzen of Reidenauer, Heitzen & Lewis, great law firm here in Phoenix, Arizona. We're broadcasting live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. And, of course, joining us right now is Mitchell Spean, one of the two best CPAs I know. Mitchell, explain what that means.
There's no need to explain.
I would put your mic closer to your mouth. That's what I would do. That means I'm the best CPA.
You're just the other one.
Oh, the other one.
The other one.
The other CPA. And,
the other of the two.
The other of the two.
That sounds like the title of the book.
Yeah.
The
hey, that
CPA.
Wouldn't that be a good book, actually? I like it. And,
and then we could say, and the good book says.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Where do you get a great tax attorney and two CPAs in the same room without charging?
That's right.
Right here on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. No, really, people should listen up and pay attention because we've gone over some nice, interesting planning. Planning.
Right.
We're talking about certain things to recognize when you go into business and some interesting things like that. I'm also, before we get into some tax, maybe mid-season tax planning or tax issues, also Obamacare, why don't we talk a little bit about the pulse of the economy? Of course, everyone wants to know about that. Phoenix, of course, or Arizona, was one of the worst states in real estate,
right,
along with Nevada, California, what I think Florida, of course, Michigan's always, unfortunately,
right,
and Detroit Red Wings are not doing that much better, and they're always a great team, but what can you say? They're from Michigan. No, I shouldn't say that, but they've had some troubles out there. But the truth is, I like Detroit Red Wings. My favorite hockey player is Pavel Datsyuk on that team. Have you ever seen him play?
No.
Very good. Mitch, have you seen him?
No.
All right, you're a CPA. That's why. But anyway, I the pulse of the economy. So here we are. We're practicing in Phoenix. Mitch and I are CPAs in California as well, and you have a big network of people all over the nation. Arizona's recovered pretty nicely. They're moving and sort of shaking right now. What do you say, Jim?
Well, I think it has recovered some. I mean, it's certainly not like it was,
yeah,
you know, back before the big recession. I mean, I think it's coming back some, but I mean, to a certain extent, it's kind of like the folks who are getting the business now are kind of the survivors.
Yeah.
And I always told people when they were coming through the recession that if they could survive this, they were probably going to be fine. I mean, because there weren't going to be many people that survived in a lot of these, for example, like contracting and, you know, a lot of those things. There just a lot of those businesses didn't make it. So there is some recovery now. But I still think it's not nearly as good as it was.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The residential market has done better. There's
right.
increases. Commercial, probably still flat right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, even the residential, when I go out to the west side, and I mean, when you go way out there, I mean, there were, at the time everything collapsed, there were, you know, big subdivisions that had the off-sites done, you know, the streets, sidewalks. They're still sitting there. I'm wondering when they will start going again.
I mean, further out, like Surprise, Arizona?
Like the 303,
yeah.
You know, out in that area. And, you know, you can drive out there and you can see them. They're still out there. And there's, you know, not just 10 or 12 lots. There's probably 100 or more
Ooh.
Lots that are just sitting there. So the question is, when are they going to get those going?
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe that's what's happening is people are looking closer in because infill seems to be a big thing right now rather than way out there.
What type of things, Jim, have you seen? And then we'll ask Mitch the same question. What transactions now are happening that maybe didn't happen 3 years ago?
What I'm seeing right now is more business sales of, and I think it's really those people who were thinking about selling their business. The economy collapsed and they couldn't sell it, and they just had to kind of sit on the sidelines. And now I think they're kind of looking at the prices are recovering. There's a little bit more capital around to buy. And they're finally saying either because of age or they're just ready to sell, that they're finally pulling the trigger and saying, let's go ahead and do it.
So business sales. So are they taking a beating? I mean, I know it was hard a couple of years ago and it may be getting a little bit better, but it's a function of, hey, are they bankable? Can they get loans? The people have cash to buy these, but maybe there's big discounts. Are they getting fair market value, or at least probably fair market value, but are they getting what they hope to get?
Well, I don't know if anybody necessarily gets what they hope to get out of a business sale.
Yeah.
But I think they're getting better than they would have gotten like 2 or 3 years ago, and I think that it's not merely what they would have gotten before the economy
yeah.
went down, but it's, as I say, there are some people that I've been working with that they're just in an age that they had decided to sell, and then when the economy went bad, they couldn't sell because there just wasn't
yeah.
the ability to do it. Now with some of it coming back, they're finally saying, okay, we'll take some discount, but we're going to go ahead and sell the business. So
yeah.
I don't know. What
Mitch, what are you seeing out there, the pulse of the economy?
To be honest with you, I've seen a lot of things improving individually, but on a personal level, I'm still seeing – the short sales out there, some of the foreclosures.
Yeah.
So I'm still seeing that there's still room for growth improvement out there as far as that's concerned.
Do you see more people trying to get back in the system, the tax? I've seen a lot of that. We're getting a lot of calls.
Without
mentioning names, we're seeing like, oh, yeah, I've been filed for 7, 8, 9 years. And okay, it's when is now a good time?
Right.
Have you seen that too, Jim? Maybe it's always there, but it just seems like people are like, really, you forgot to do your return for 10 years? How do you forget for 10 years?
I usually tell them the I forgot defense doesn't work very well.
Not at all.
It's not on the list of IRS defenses.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but I have literally seen that also.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? It's good they get back in the system, but there's no amnesty.
No.
The state had, Arizona had, what, a couple of years back, right?
Right.
Which, some amnesty.
It really only applied, it only reduced the interest and the penalties. It didn't change the tax portion of it. So,
right.
You know, when people think about amnesty, they still paid the tax.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, I think you had to write a check too, right then and there.
You had to pay for it all at one time, or they would not accept the amnesty program.
Now, Jim, do you think that's a good idea? I know we're jumping a little bit around, but since we're talking about people who may not be in the system and are afraid to get back in, they should just get back in. But do you think the IRS should have an amnesty program? It's been a long time. I think they had one long ago, and I can't remember really when.
Well, you know, you kind of wonder. I mean, if they're going to give people who had overseas accounts that weren't reported, give them some amnesty and some breaks on getting back into the system on those accounts, whether it might not be a bad idea to do it for people who are in this country that, you know, that have not filed.
Yeah.
Because remember those offshore bank accounts, they finally said, we're going to have these programs to get people back in, not prosecuted, but they got to pay and there's a penalty and what have you. But there was a program, and maybe they should do something maybe similar to that to let people back in the system here.
Yeah, I think so. At least it's an incentive to get back in. And from a cost standpoint, it would seem like it would be cost effective, I would think, for the IRS point of view, where instead of having all these people in compliance tracking down people, maybe just getting people back in the system.
Right.
But I don't really know how many people are out of the system. But you know, it's always...
There's enough people out of the system that I think it would be worth exploring some sort of program, because obviously with the number of people that we've seen that have been out of the system,
quite a few,
it surprises me how many are out of the system, and to get them back in, and especially those that are on the fence as to whether they want to, because hey, if I haven't thus far, why should I continue? Let's give them some sort of incentive to get back into the system.
Right.
But what would you recommend, Jim? I mean, I think I know, but I mean, I always tell people just get back in the system. I mean, you got to get back in the system.
Yeah. The interesting thing, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the interesting thing of some of the people I've talked with who have not filed for a few years is when they finally got down to preparing those returns for those bad years, 2008, 2009, is that the amount of taxes they actually owed isn't that great, because they had some pretty bad years. They had losses.
Yeah.
They had all kinds of things going on. And when I ask them, well, why wouldn't you file for a year when you didn't owe that many taxes? It just, they always come back with the same answer. It's there was just so much other stuff bad going on that, you know, I just couldn't get to that point. And it was just like there were just so many fires burning that they just looked at filing was just not at the top of their list. But literally, you know, some of them are, they don't owe that much in taxes.
Yeah, it's amazing, and the consequences. I mean, you know, certainly the IRS can do what they call substitute for returns, right? Mitch and I, we've seen those.
Yeah.
You probably, and you know, and well, that's just not. I mean, just get back in the system, because often the IRS, well, every time the IRS will use, you know, they won't allow deductions, and the taxes they can assess are astronomically more than if you filed your accurate return.
Right.
So I think that's something people should recognize. And we've had several cases like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Lowered it hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, there's no question that it can go down tens of thousands and sometimes even more, just because you start doing it right and you start pulling the information. You know, when we're looking at a tax return, we're asking the questions to determine the additional expenses, rather than take a standard deduction or something like that that's going to minimize the time, but it's not going to maximize your deductions.
Right.
Yeah, no question about it. So people need to, just take responsibility. And excuse I hear often, you know, with none of my clients, but potential clients that call me, and they go, well, I haven't filed for a few years or whatever. I go, why not? They go, well, I knew I owed money, so it's better not to file until I had the money. Until I had the money.
Yeah.
They go, no. No, just file, fully disclose what you owe, and you deal with collection issues. I mean, but if you compound it by not complying with filing, that's when you can get some really bad stuff coming down, right?
Yeah, it was surprising to me that, you know, they got to the point when things were pretty bad in the economy, collections. I remember I had one person that was having problems. I was going to have to go to collections. And I called the collections people on behalf of the client, and I said, well, they can't pay this right now. They got to pay it over time. And their response to me was, how much do you want to pay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, let me see.
That's what I discovered, too. The IRS, I think they're easy to deal with. I think for the most part, they're trying to accommodate. I believe that. I think they're trying to help.
And if you've made the effort to contact them or make an effort to go to them to say, hey, I want to be in compliance. I want to pay my what I owe. They're going to be much more likely to help you,
right?
As compared to when they come to you and say, okay, not only are you going to owe the tax, you're going to owe the penalties and then all the collection fees, and it just keeps going. They keep adding and adding and adding stuff. It just isn't worth the additional stress. In addition to which, once you've got the tax returns done, that's, you know, what a pressure that's off your back.
Right.
You no longer have a gorilla. You might have a monkey as far as the amounts owed, but it's a whole lot easier dealing with that than not filing. And obviously when you don't file, the statute of limitations is forever.
Right, exactly.
So
never runs.
So that's another advantage to filing. It starts to, you know, you've got a statute of limitations that will eventually run out, but, you know, on certain areas, and then you have to deal with the areas that they're, you know, collections.
And the thing I've seen that is somewhat helpful in this whole thing is I've seen when you haven't filed, let's say, for 2008, 9, 10, 11, is it seems like what the service is doing is they send out the notice for 2008 first. So you can you got to battle that, but then you know you better get 2009, 10, 11, 12 in before the notice comes out.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's good faith goes a long way.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it?
I mean, you've seen that as an attorney too. I mean, good faith can go a long way if you show that. And but you know the nice thing is there's a lot of collection options, you know, that aren't that hard to meet. I mean, the threshold used to be, I think it was $25,000. If you owed $25,000 or less, you could go over 5 years without any paperwork. You just divided the tax by basically 60 months. They've recently raised it because they're trying to help up to $50,000.
Right.
No paperwork required. And what was it, Mitch? I think 72 months now. I think that's what it is.
Year.
So, you know, so that's sort of interesting that if you owe under $50,000, you know, there is a provision where the IRS will, you know, just say, okay, pay us over 72 months. You don't have to file any paperwork. Boom, it virtually doesn't take long. What, 20 minutes maybe, 15 minutes, and a done deal.
Yeah.
And then you have a payment plan. Now, if you can't pay, if you, you know, let's say you lost your business and you really aren't making much money, you can do a 433A or 433B. 433F. I mean, there's certain financial statement applications, not really.
Basically, telling them what you can't afford.
Yeah,
right.
And they'll work with you.
Some people go in uncollectible. Like, okay, we won't ask for anything. We'll review it every couple of years, and you know, because they want you to have at least basic living expenses. I mean, that right? That's how it works. And then there's an offer and compromise. Maybe you can do an offer and pay a percentage on the amount you owe, you know, settle it that way. So, but you got to file. I mean, if you don't file, you can't do any of that. You got to be in compliance.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything unless you're up to date on all the filings that you have. So if you've got a business, the business has to be up to date. The payroll, the business returns, everything else has to be up to date. And, you know, and then if they're going to look at the personal, you've also got that issue as well.
Yeah, you got to do all that. Why don't we take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll talk a little bit of tax compliance. We're talking strategic planning. We'll still get into Obamacare, see what's going on there, and other planning opportunities. And this is Breakthrough Thinking. And, of course, Practical Business Solutions, the first Monday of every month from 3 to 4 here on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network in Hyson Studio. Right now, Hyson Lewis, and joining us is, I should say, not Buzz, but his. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. We're broadcasting live out of Suites here in Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We have Jim Hyten, great attorney from Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis in studio. The show is called Practical Business Solutions. Also joining us, Mitchell Spean, one of the two best CPAs I know. And there he is sitting across from me. So far, we've talked a lot about some tax compliance. We've seen an increase in people wanting to get back in the system. We always encourage that. But also talk to your tax advisor, too. That's very important to always have a tax advisor, tax attorney, CPA,
well,
whatever
actually,
the case.
What I suggest is a team. You've got to have the attorney.
Yes.
You've got to have the attorney. You've got to have the CPA. You've got to have your banking relationship, your financial planner. I mean, I think it's a full team that you need. Rather than just one or two people, I think get that whole team in place
right.
to make things
right.
really the best.
Unlike the Los Angeles Lakers that lost most of their team. What happened there? Hey, you've been, Jim, have you been following any of the playoffs, NBA or NHL?
NBA, yeah.
Oh, NBA. You're an NBA. I thought you liked hockey, too.
Well, I do like hockey, but, you know, when the Coyotes aren't in it, it kind of takes
a
little bit of the magic away from the playoffs, doesn't it?
You know, it really does. The first time in this is they've been in the playoffs 3 years, and now they didn't make it. And I still think they have the best coach in the league, Dave Tippett. But, hey, there's so much someone can do for, you know, the ownership issue, right? And 4 years going on 5 years now. It's like, wow, what company could survive that? Not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy.
Well, they're very fortunate. The city's very fortunate that they are still here.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure how much longer it'll last. Just logically, like you said, it's been 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Being run by the NHL.
Yeah, that's right. They're the owner, the National Hockey League. I don't think there's going to be an award ceremony, unfortunately. No, I went a couple of years ago. It used to be in Vegas because of the lockout. They had to cancel, evidently, because last year the Wynn Hotel, I think.
Oh, is that right?
So you got to tell them in advance to get your deposit back, I'm guessing. So that's what happened, unfortunately. Darn, I love those award ceremonies. Now,
you can still go to Vegas, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What happens there, those stays there. Okay. Anyway, at least that's what they tell me. All right. So Obamacare, something, what have you been hearing about this? You have clients probably saying, hey, it gets a little confusing. Really, it's a big law. There's a lot of tax provisions. It's pretty complex. And the average company, it probably drives them nuts on how to figure it out. What do you do?
You almost have to get specialized, you know, advice because it is so complex. The only good thing is that a lot of the insurance companies, if you are, you know, if your renewal date is like in January or February, or even the first quarter, a lot of the insurance companies are allowing people to renew before the end of the year. So you get another year before you're actually into Obamacare.
Oh.
So that's really helpful. I mean, and I think a lot of small businesses are going to their insurance company and saying, can we renew before the end of the year and get one more year on the insurance company? That's the good news. The bad news is the premiums are still going up. And I've heard anywhere from 20-30%, maybe more. I mean, it's just, it's a kind of a nightmare or a train wreck. Who was it in the Senate was mentioning that?
Yeah, who said that?
Don't recall. Harry Reid or somebody.
I was
saying it's kind of a train wreck, and it is, because I mean that's a big jump, 20-30%.
What is, you know, certainly for a big company, my premiums, well, not last year so much, but there was a big jump like 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh no, is there going to be another big jump? And I mean, it gets very expensive. And what do you do? And also the confusion maybe among the states, right, with exchanges. I'm not an expert in this, but are the states ready? I mean, you know, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So you got a few states messing up, then it affects the people that, you know, everyone's supposed to be insured in theory, right, or else you pay a penalty. I don't know. Hopefully it's in place. I don't know. We should probably get another guest on this one day.
Well, you know, what we'd heard is that on the exchanges that, you know, some of the states, they're not ready or they've turned them down. Now you go to the federal exchange. Well, the federal exchange probably isn't going to be ready on time either.
Oh.
So, you know, you start getting a real problem of where do you, you know, what do you do with this? And so it's just massive. I mean, everything that comes out is like not just a few pages of regulation, it's hundreds, thousands of pages of regulations explaining some portion of the law.
And that's sort of tax law for you, isn't it, too? I mean, the tax provisions where there's regulations. And let me ask you, this just sort of popped in my mind. I'm probably one of the few CPAs that would agree to a flat tax.
I would.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one of the best of the two of us. Okay. Oh, the two best we know. I said that wrong. But tax law is so complex. I mean, is it really fair out there, you think?
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I just think it's just going to be it would take some kind of cataclysmic event.
Yeah, it would never happen.
I agree, because they're just, I mean, Washington, D.C. lives on lobbyists. So
I totally agree. That's what it is.
It's the people in Washington. You've got what I call the Accountant's Guide to Full Employment. That's the IRS code.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not going away. It would be nice to be able to get a set of rules. This is what the income is, flat amount of tax. You go down to a postcard, and you're essentially done. There's plenty of accounting and other, consulting things out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend your time doing tax returns. The people are already, like we said earlier, they're out of the system. This would be a beautiful way to keep them in the system, because as you give them, you take the withholding, it's just going to be a matter of paperwork to see what's going on. There's just not going to be that much involved.
And unfortunately, I think, Obamacare is almost kind of setting up another program that's almost as bad as the Internal Revenue Code. When you look at all the details in it, you sit down and you listen to people who are trying to explain it, and they're trying to tell you, okay, now under Obamacare, your company's going to have a bronze plan or a silver plan or, these metallic plans that they're talking about, and you have to meet certain requirements within each plan or else it doesn't work. And so,
I'm ready for the rest plan.
Yeah.
where they've all kind of gone tarnished.
Rest plan, I like that.
Yeah, I like that, actually. It is complex. I mean, tax law is complex enough, and that's why I guess the people get hurt, because it really drives up perhaps CPA fees, and as CPA fees or tax attorney fees go up, then you have maybe enrolled agents, other tax preparers preparing returns, and maybe people say, well, I don't care anymore, so I'll go to someone less sophisticated, which then has this sort of cycling effect where then maybe there's more returns not quite as accurate, so the IRS has to get more compliance, auditors or whatever, and so it's a whole cycle. That's a problem, I believe. What do you think, Mitch?
And especially when you're talking about a flat tax.
Well, flat tax would solve a lot of things.
Exactly. That's your point to begin with. They keep saying simplification.
Hasn't happened.
But I haven't seen it.
Every year there's something new, right?
Well, and it's interesting with Obamacare. It's not this year, but I think in 2014 for 2013 returns, isn't there going to be another form that you have to attach to the return that somehow kind of certifies that the company has complied with Obamacare or something? I mean, there's something. I've not seen a copy of it, but I think there's something that the tax preparer has to attach to the company's return. Again, just more complications.
Yeah, more government.
And then the next question is going to be, if you attach that to the return, what's your responsibility as a preparer? Are you, in effect, telling the IRS that they are in compliance, and are you going to be the policeman that their health care plan complies with Obamacare?
I don't know for sure. That's a good point. But typically, tax return is management representation. I mean, you obviously got to ask questions,
right. And
if something looks fishy, then you got to resign or resolve it. But typically, management representation, what manager says, as long as it, you can't close your eyes, though. You got to make sure it looks reasonable. I know Mitch and I always have good documentation, third-party documentation, to support a return. That's just our, I think we had good training from when we worked at the government, as well as, other CPA firms. But it might be going that way. That I don't know. But when more government gets involved, if they could, I'm guessing they would like, people to sort of police it, but then I know the AICPA gets involved. I go, wait a minute, you're going a little too far, it's got to be some independence. So it's a tough one. You can almost sort of understand why libertarians want less government, right?
Right.
It is getting over the top.
I think it's more than just libertarians.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of us that like less government.
Yeah. That makes it tough. And, It probably is growing out of hand.
Well, and the other thing I'm seeing with businesses, and this is just kind of a it's anecdotal. I can't tell you it's the way I see everything going. But I hear, you know, various people who have businesses come in and they tell me, okay, I've got so much money this next year. It's either going to go for increased health insurance premiums under Obamacare.
Mm.
It's going to go for some kind of retirement benefit for the employees or raises for the employees. It's not going to go for, I don't have enough money for all three. So, you know, they go to the employees and say, what do you want?
They want raises.
Yeah, but, you know, health care for older employees.
Well, they
really
probably want health care.
Yeah. So, what, you know, how do you, that's one of those really interesting discussions that, that people are going to have.
So, Mitch, what would you take? Would you take retirement, health care, or raises?
Health care.
And, Jim, you would take?
Health care.
I guess I would, too. Health care.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, at this point, you know, it's not necessarily going to go onto that W-2, except as a notification of, hey, we paid this much on your behalf.
Yeah.
You know, but so from that standpoint, you know, take advantage of what's out there still until it goes away.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It does put an added dimension on businesses, big businesses especially.
Right.
And what is it, 50 or more or over 50? I forget which one it is.
50 or more.
Yeah, and the others get credits, but if you're below 50, but it's a subsidy, you know, that you could subsidize. But I don't think they get penalized.
No.
I think it's 50, you said over 50.
Yeah,
no, 50
or
more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then the other thing you've seen all over the news here in the past couple of weeks is where businesses are saying, you know what, we're going to cut our people down to part-time. So we don't have to cover them.
Yeah, I heard something.
There's been a lot of news stories about how some businesses are saying, we're going to cut them below 30 hours a week, so they're part-time. They don't qualify for any kind of Obamacare.
Wow. So there's a lot of things, and that will happen with any type of new tax provision, right? Is, you know, what
yeah.
Do they patch up the loopholes? Or that's tough, though, to monitor something like that. How do you know a business really wants to do more part-time people?
I know
it's based on full-time equivalents, but
right.
But still, I'm sure they do the formula and say, hey, there's some planning here. And it seems, hopefully it doesn't backfire, you know, the intention of getting everyone health care, but if it backfires, I mean, that's a big mess. I don't know what's going to happen on that, right? It's so big that how do you unravel it, or
right.
How do you
it's
change
too
it?
Big. It's too big.
It's
but
too big.
Maybe
yeah.
That's it. Maybe it is too big.
Time to chunk down.
Oh, we should do a remote live from Washington, D.C. Would that be fun?
Right.
Get a bunch of senators and congressmen and have a little debate. We've had debates on breakthrough thinking before, though. We had Bill Montgomery and Michael Kelsky. Bill, of course, I like Bill a lot. He's a county attorney here in Maricopa County.
You also had the mayoral candidates.
Yeah, we had them, too, and that was sort of cool. And that's fun, but now we could bring the shows on the road to Washington, D.C. and say, hey, Michelle, come on over here. Is Obama really that good of a basketball player? He is, though. Have you seen him on TV?
No, I'm not.
He can play. No, he is very good. And anyway, but that would be great. I'd love to interview some of the Congress people and say, hey, what's the bottlenecks here?
Well,
you know,
it would be interesting even going to the state government and seeing, because you've got, not to the same extent, but you've got issues at the state level just as much as you do in the federal.
Oh, yeah. Right now you've got that old debate over Medicaid expansion in Arizona and whether or not we should take the Obamacare money or not.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Wow. Can you believe the time just has flown by right now? Jim, how did they get in touch with you? How do people get in touch?
Best way is to call me. Our firm number is 602-254-9900.
And that's 602-254-9900, huh?
Yes.
Excellent. Jim Hyten and right now Hyten Lewis. Mitch, how do they get in touch with you?
They can reach me at area code 602-266-5633.
And that's it.
Well, or by email, Mitch, M-I-T-C-H, at jfbpc.com.
Not bad. Well,
how about you?
Oh, yeah, 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074. And, Mitchell, thank you. See you tomorrow. You got some shows coming up. And, Jim, Hyten, always a pleasure seeing you. We'll see you next month, and we may be at a remote location somewhere interviewing some people. Can't wait. Practical Business Solutions. We'll see everyone tomorrow. Of course, we've got some the NLP show and the bottom line tomorrow on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Have a great evening.